Well, fellowship, I'll tell you, seeing all this confetti up here, I feel like somebody ought to do one of those snow angels. What do you think? Huh? How much money? How much money, huh? What do you think, snow angel? You've been wanting to do it, haven't you? Let's get down here and do this thing. Now, that's a big snow angel, I'll tell you that. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get back up, I got to tell you. Oh, man, I'm having fun. I'm having fun celebrating 40 years of God's faithfulness. 40 years of His faithfulness. Man, He has richly blessed us. He has showered us with His grace, allowing us the opportunity to be a part of making His name famous. Really, in this city, in this state, around the world, for the glory of His name. For the glory of His name. You know, this weekend, this special day reminds me of a story in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says that the Lord brought a great victory to the Israelites over the Philistine army. And God, it says in that passage that God, with a loud noise, He brought a great victory for His people. And so in verse 12, we're told there in chapter 7 that Samuel took a rock and he called it Ebenezer, which means until now the Lord has helped us. It was to be a reminder to God's people of God's faithfulness when they trusted in Him and they believed in Him. And in a way, this weekend, this is a special day, a special moment for us to mark God's faithfulness to us, fellowship. That until now, the Lord has helped us as we have trusted in Him and believed in Him for 40 years. He's been faithful to us. In fact, I brought my own rock up here, my own Ebenezer today, to remind us of the great grace that God has showered on each of us, not just collectively as a church, but think about it. God has showered His grace on you and on me these 40 years. Some of you are here today, and at some point over this 40 years, you crossed the line of faith and encountered the abundant life that can be had in Jesus Christ. Listen, my wife was one of those people. And God used my wife to chip away at my hard heart so that one day I would be open to the good news of Jesus. Or maybe this is a reminder of a point in time over these 40 years where you went public with your faith and you got baptized. Or maybe it's a reminder of a different grace, maybe a hard season in your life that you experienced here at Fellowship. Maybe a battle with cancer or a death or a divorce. And yet the people in this body, in this church, rallied around you, maybe even your D group, and they loved you and they cared for you and they supported you and helped pull you through that valley. Or maybe this is a marker of God's grace to you in that He has rescued you at some point from an addiction or some type of idolatry in your heart. See, this is a marker of 40 years of God's faithfulness and healing and hope and new life, and God did it all. God did this. To God be the glory. But here's the thing. Yes, give Him some praise. But listen to me, fellowship. God's not done yet. God is just getting started. God wants to do so much more in you, in me, in our lives, in our church. He wants to do so much more across this world for the glory of His name. God's just getting started. Yes, we want to take time this weekend and celebrate God's faithfulness for 40 years, but at the same time, we want to boldly ask God to do more. More life change, more baptisms, more missionaries, more church plants, more campuses, more D groups. We want to see God do more. Listen, I just turned 48 years old. Thank you. I just had my birthday 2 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting on my present from some of you. And I got to tell you, a lot has changed about me in 40 years. As some of you know my story, early in my early years, I grew up really far from God. Spent a lot of time running away from God and chasing after sin. I was lost. And thankfully, by God's grace, He rescued me. And my faith in Jesus changed my life. In fact, it changed me so much that when I went back for my high school 10-year reunion, I was voted most changed. When I went back for my 20-year reunion, I was voted most changed. And guess what? My 30-year reunion is coming up this fall, and you better pray I come out of that as a 3-time reigning champ, right? Yes. And God has changed me physically a lot, too, over these 40 years. Man, I've lost a ton of hair, as you can tell. My beard has gone gray. And things that I used to be able to do physically speaking now make me tired and worn out. And I got to tell you, that's discouraging, because I know as I get older, it's only going to get worse, right? And while I've changed a lot over these 40 years, God has not changed. God has not gotten older. He is not weaker. He is not discouraged. He is still passionate about His gospel and lost people finding life in Jesus Christ. He is still as fired up today about His church as He was the very first church He started in Acts chapter 2 some 2,000 years ago. And while I may have declined some over these 40 years, God is still mighty, He is still strong, and He is still powerful as ever. And He wants to bring breakthrough and life to you, to this church, to your D group. He wants to do even more over these next 40 years here at Fellowship. And so we come together today to hope and pray and ask God to do even more. Not for the years to come, friends, but for the generations to come. We want to see God do more for the glory of His name in your life, in my life, in this place called Fellowship Bible Church. And so I want to share with you real quickly this morning a couple of important truths that I think are important to help shape and continue to shape our future together as a people and as a church if we want to see God continue to use us in big and grand ways here. These two truths Jesus gives us in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These are Jesus' last words before He ascends back to His Father, His last words to His church. To His disciples, to you, to me. And here's what He says in Acts 1. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." The first truth that I want you to notice here is that we, talking about the church, the people of God, we have been given the greatest mission in the world. Do you know that? We are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Here in Acts, with this Acts chapter 1, what Jesus is doing is He's just using different language to describe the Great Commission, the idea of go and make disciples. Disciples making disciples. That's what the Great Commission is. That's what our mission of our church is, by the way. To make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world. And here Jesus uses a different word. He uses the word witness. The idea is witnesses making witnesses. Now, what is a witness? Well, I don't know if you heard this week, but there was a solar eclipse this week. Anybody hear that? Anybody see that? Let me see your hand if you watched the solar eclipse. We got to witness God putting on an amazing spectacle for all the world to see, didn't we? As the earth, not the earth, the moon and the sun crossed paths, right? And we got to witness that. And it was beautiful. It was awesome if you got to see it. And many of us began to share about that with our friends. Some of us even took pictures and we put them on Instagram and Facebook because we wanted to witness about what we had experienced and what we had seen, and we couldn't wait to share it with others. Well, when Jesus Christ has changed your life and the Holy Spirit moves into your heart and your life, and you come to know God's love personally, you can't help but want to share about it. You can't help but want to witness to the good news of who Jesus is and how he's changed your life, is what Jesus is saying here. See, when we are saved, we come to belong to God's community of witnesses called the local church, to be a part of the greatest mission in the world, which is to witness to the good news of Jesus and to get that good news out to the world. And I just want to stop and say, I pray that we will commit really for the rest of our days, by the grace of God, for the next 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, that we would give our lives to witnessing about our salvation and praising God for his amazing grace, until there is no room in our mouth left for anything else. That we will go after the one, grow up the one, and send out the one until everyone in our community who is lost and broken has come to taste and to know the salvation of Jesus Christ. That we would never stop sharing with our words and our lives about Jesus and what he's done for us. Fellowship, we have been given an amazing platform, not just here in Central Arkansas, but really all around the world. May we, for the next 40 years, use that platform to proclaim and to witness that Jesus and Jesus alone is our hope, our salvation, our refuge. May we drive a stake down today and commit our lives to being a part of the greatest mission in the world, the mission of Jesus, of getting the good news out there with our words and with our lives. Not only have we been given the greatest mission, Jesus says we've been given the greatest power in the world, the greatest power. The mission we've been given is not a human production. It's powered by something so much greater. It's powered by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. This is who the church is. We are Spirit-empowered witnesses of Jesus who have come to know the abundant life that's found in Jesus. And thank you. One person gets excited about that. That's good to know. And let me tell you, churches and people begin to falter when they quit accessing and looking to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, when my 16-year-old son, when he turned 16, the very first week he began to drive, he called me. He said, "Dad, something's wrong with the car." He said, "It's just running rough. It doesn't have any power. I don't know what's going on." I said, "Well, get it home." And so when he got home, I went out to the driveway. You know what the problem was? He was driving around, first week of driving, with the emergency brake on. That's what the problem is. Let me tell you, your car will never reach its full potential as long as you're driving around with the emergency brake on, right? Let me tell you, there's a lot of churches. There's a lot of people. And they can't quite figure out what's going on and why they can't reach their full potential. And the reason is they are trusting and relying on themselves and their own power. If you think it is about you and your wit and your strength and your intellect, all we're going to do is falter. We have been given the greatest power in the world. It's not about human production. It is about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit working in you and working in me and empowering this church. And listen, that's so important. that I'm telling you that I think perhaps the biggest obstacle for us achieving and realizing our vision over the next 40 years here at Fellowship is what David Brooks, a columnist for the New York Times, calls the big me. See, we live in the age, he says, of the big me, of hyper self-reliance, hyper self-individualism, hyper self-focus, the big me. And I think perhaps it's the big me that stands in the way of us possibly achieving the vision that God has given us. That's why it's so important, Fellowship, that as we look ahead to our time, 10, 20, 40 years, whatever God gives us, that we keep looking and accessing the real power, the true power that can energize your life, my life, energize our church, energize and empower what we want to do in this city and around the world. It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That's where the true power is found. And can you imagine, Fellowship, what would happen? What could happen in these 40 years if we came together, we united together around this great mission that we've been given? We set aside the big me, we unite together, we anchor ourselves in the Spirit of God. If we did that, can you imagine what might happen in 40 years? I wonder if we were to do that, could we possibly turn the world upside down for Jesus? I think we could. That's why in 2 weeks here, we're going to be launching a series called Together, and we're going to be exploring membership together, what it looks like to be a family united together around this great mission, anchored in the power of the Spirit of God, because we want to see even more lives changed here in Central Arkansas and all around the world for the glory of His name, for the glory of His name. The question is, Fellowship, do we want that? Do you desire that? Or do you want to live for the big me? Or do you want to live for the big God? And His big spirit. And His big mission here in Central Arkansas and all around the world. Let me tell you what I'm praying today for us as a people and as a church. I want to pray and thank God for His faithfulness and the spiritual impact for these 40 years. But here's what else I want to ask. God, do it again. Do it again for the glory of Your name. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for 40 years of faithfulness. You have been so true to us. You have shown off these 40 years. And we are begging and asking You to do it again for the glory of Your name. We are asking that You would unite us together around this great mission that You've entrusted to us. All of eternity is at stake. That You would anchor our hearts and our lives into the power that You've given us, the power of Your Spirit, and that You would unleash us as Your witnesses in this city, in this state, and around the world, so that even more people might come to know and love You. And we pray it and ask it in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.